It is awesome. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. I have been, this is the third time I've been to this church. Once in October, I had the opportunity to come share about the Rock Ministry. I'm sure many of you were here and probably remember that a few years back, we came here. We have a camper at Windsor Hills, and my family came here to worship. And I remember my wife and I forget how many kids I had at that time. We have five children, or how many we had with us. But when we came here today, my daughter Raina, Kira, and Wesley, they're my three oldest children, they said, "Hey, we've been to this church before." I said, "Oh yeah, you have been here before." So it's a blessing to have them with me also. I have two more kids. Little Macy is 8 years old and Silas is six, and they're off at family camp. They've been there since Wednesday. And Lord willing, we'll be joining them this afternoon. We stayed home to we just moved, so we moved and then prepared for this as well. So thank you, Pastor White, and thank you for having me here with all of you this morning. It truly is a privilege. We're going to open in a word of prayer, and we're going to take a look at the Word of God this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, for today. We thank you, Lord, that you are here today. Lord, I want to thank you for a church that prays, Lord. I thank you that these altars were filled just moments ago with people coming down to prepare their hearts, dear Lord Jesus. And I know even for myself, dear Lord, I need so much. We're a needy people, dear Lord Jesus. And so I'm thankful, God, that the people in this house this morning, God, have come here to seek your face. And it's hot out and it's the summer and there's all sorts of stuff going on. But you've brought each of us here, Lord, to be in your presence and to hear from you today. And I thank you for that. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak. Speak to those who know you this morning. Speak to your people, God. Make us into the church that you want us to be, dear Lord Jesus. Make us into the followers of yours that you want us to be today, Lord. Would you change our hearts? No matter how long we've known you, would you change our minds? No matter how long we've walked with you, would you create us today into the image of Christ, dear Lord? Would you continue to change us and make us into those people you're calling us to be? Father, we pray for your word, Lord. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you that it's alive, it's living, active, timeless, and that today you have something for each of us that have ears to hear. And God, we know you're the one that opens the ears of the deaf and opens the eyes of the blind. And so, God, would you open our ears this morning that we could hear you? Would you open our eyes this morning that we could see you, dear Lord Jesus? Help us, Holy Spirit, we pray. God, I pray that you would pour out blessing upon this church family. I thank you so much for this church. I thank you so much that this place is a light and that this is a church where people find hope and healing and salvation in Jesus' name. And I pray, dear Lord Jesus, in the days to come that many would be rooted and grounded and anchored and built up and encouraged in the faith, dear Lord, through this place, even this summer, dear Lord, Father. I'm just praying for a great move of your Holy Spirit in this place and in the people here, dear Lord. And I'm praying, dear Heavenly Father, that you would give this church body, Lord, eyes to see what you're doing, and that you would begin to call, even as Pastor White shared earlier, God, there's leaders in this room. Each and every one is a leader of someone and has gifts and talents and abilities. Lord Jesus, I pray that your body would just rise up, dear Lord, and that now would be a time, Father, where people just are empowered by your Holy Spirit to walk worthy of the calling they've received and be those leaders, even as Pastor White said, that you desire us to be, dear Lord. So come this morning, we pray, Father, and do what only you can do, Lord. We're dependent on you, Lord. We're desperate for you, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You could turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. I do want to share, before I jump into Luke chapter 5, three things that already kind of impacted me this morning. One, praise God for your worship team. Praise God for them. Thank you so much. They're sitting out here wherever spread about, but it was almost like I picked the songs this morning. I said to my daughter, I said, oh, Raina, they're doing some of our favorite songs. Praise God for your worship team. And as I was worshiping, which often happens to me, but just brought to tears with the words that we sang in worship this morning as we lifted Jesus' name on high. Pastor White, when you were up here earlier, I think during the announcement time, and I just alluded to it in my prayer, and you talked about the church family and the people in the body becoming leaders and just the Lord raising people on up to do that which needs to be done, for lack of a better way to say it. It just really struck me and impacted me. Right now, we might say that this church is in transition, I guess. But what impacted me when you said that, Pastor, was that this is a perfect opportunity for the people in this church to stand up and to rise up to carry on the work of the gospel, because the work of the gospel and the work of the church is not dependent on a pastor or is not dependent on one leader. It's dependent on the body. And I actually questioned just for a quick second my message this morning when you said that, because I wanted to actually come here and preach about spiritual gifts and how each one has a part. But the Lord kind of changed that this week for me and brought me to Luke 5 instead. But I guess I just want to share with you that each one of you is and can be a leader. And someone said to me once something that really impacted me, and that was that your commitment and your faithfulness, your commitment and faithfulness, or your lack of commitment and faithfulness will make a difference in someone's eternity. And imagine if everybody in this room was so committed to Christ, was so committed to the body of Christ, the family of God, the advancement of the gospel, that we all made a choice today to make a difference in someone's eternity for the kingdom of God and advance the gospel in Loudoun and Concord and throughout this region, because we all stood up and said, I'm going to become the leader or the person that the Lord wants us to be, that we to be. The third thing that really impacted me was prayer. I get to travel to quite a few churches. My church is in Rockville. Pastor Flick is my senior pastor. We work quite a bit side by side together, but I travel to a lot of churches, mostly Church of the Nazarenes. And I was down there praying, so I didn't get to get the whole picture, but I got the sense while I was down there praying that this altar was pretty much filled a few minutes ago. That is rare, and it's sad that that's rare. But I'm so thankful, because right now in this time of transition, we have maybe more opportunity than ever to become a praying church. And prayer is the greatest work that we have in the church, and it's not dependent again on a pastor. I'm so thankful that the altar was filled. And I want to encourage everyone in this church. There is so much power in prayer. Nothing is going to happen in this church without prayer. The right pastor is not coming to this place if it's not prayed for and he's not led here. Nothing's going to happen. People aren't going to get saved. Nothing happens apart from prayer. And every single one of you, no matter how little or great your faith is this morning, have so much privilege, right, and authority in prayer. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, that is where it's at. And so I just want to encourage you guys to continue to be hunger for the Lord in prayer. And for those others, join in with those who fill these altars crying out to God. Because prayer, my pastor just pounds this into our head. We had over 300 prayer meetings last year. Some people think my pastor's crazy when it comes to prayer. But prayer, everything, every work of God is founded or born in prayer, I believe. But that's not what this morning's about. This morning is a message, and they asked if I had a title for the message, and I really didn't, but I came up with one anyways, and the title was Jesus Heals. And there's a lot of people in this church. We just prayed for children that need healing, people that need healing, physical healing, and stuff like that. So I think a lot of that will apply this morning. But in Luke 5, I think, and I hope, we're going to see that we're going to learn of the healing power of Jesus. And hopefully we're going to see this morning that we all need healing. I've known the Lord long enough, but not that long, 16 years. So to some of you, I'm a baby, and to some of you, I've known the Lord for a long time. But what I've found in 16 years is the closer I follow Jesus, the more I cry out to God, the more I get on my knees in prayer, the more I seek Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life, the more desperate I become, the more short I, not that I fall short, but the more short that I almost feel like I fall, the more desperate I am for the presence and power of God in my life, and the more I recognize how much I need Jesus, how much I need to be healed, how much I need to get closer to God in my faith and in my walk with Him today. And I don't know if it ever stops, because my pastor's known the Lord a long time, and I know he probably feels the same way. I need more of Jesus, and I need to be healed and touched by His Spirit this morning, and I believe we all do. So we're in Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 26. This account's also in Mark. I actually, in some ways, like it better in Mark. I almost switched it to Mark, but we're going to go with Luke because that's where the Lord had me in the first place. Luke 5, 17 to 26, and it says this. It happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. When they couldn't find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." That's the gospel, Matthew 5, 17 through 26. So I want to take a brief look at this passage and kind of just give a real quick overview, if I can, or summarize it. And then I want to take a look at some issues. I don't know if they're issues, but questions or problems or issues that I had with the passage as I was praying through it that I think the Holy Spirit is helping me on a little bit. I want to take a look at the people in the passage. And then I want to take a look at you and I, because the Word of God is living. This may have been written a couple thousand years ago or whatever or whenever, but the Word of God is alive. So it wasn't just for then, it's for you and I today, because it's the gospel, it's timeless, it's living, it's active. So, and that's where we're going to go this morning. And so we start in verse 17, and if you look at it in Mark, it talks about, they were actually at a house, it says in Mark. So Jesus is teaching at a house, and the Pharisees and the teachers and the scribes and the church leaders are all there, and the house is packed. Now, I don't know how big the house was or how small the house was, but I know it was packed. It was full. We can learn from this passage and from Mark. And so they came from all over to hear Jesus. And one thing I think that's important to, one thing I'm going to summarize, or I'm going to use the word if I can, and forgive me if it's not the perfect word, but I want to summarize all who were there as the church people if I could. So they're the church people from the day. They're the people in my church back in Rockville. They're the people in your church. They're the people that are in church, and they want to come, and they want to hear the teachings of Jesus. All different types, Pharisees, scribes, leaders, teachers, you name it. They came to hear him. And we see right in verse 17, the power of the Lord was present to heal. Now, I know from looking at the passage that it's talking a lot about physical healing. The power of the Lord was present to heal. But I loved what the Lord spoke to me through Luke, because he just said the Pharisees and the scribes were there, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And so I found that a little bit interesting. And one thing that just popped into my mind, and we need to understand, and you guys know this anyways, this is a great Bible-believing church. Jesus, when he was on earth, gave up his divine rights to come to earth and did his miracles in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. Jesus gave up his divine rights, came to earth, and did his miracles in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was dependent on the Holy Spirit. And what was interesting to me, and what could be interesting to you, is today, if you're a believer in Jesus, and you have the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your mind, the very same power that was necessary for Jesus at that time, when he gave up his rights as God to come to the earth and perform those miracles, the same power that was in Jesus is the same power that was in you. And so that really speaks to me, and that gives me hope, because I'm weak, and I'm not seeing great moves of God, and I'm not seeing great power of God or the miracles. Well, there's hope, because the same power, I believe, that was in Jesus is the same source of power that you have today. And we go to verse 18, and it says, behold. And the word there, behold, is almost like all of a sudden. So they're in the middle of the meeting, the house is packed, all the church people are there, and all of a sudden a paralyzed man is trying to get in. The service is interrupted, is basically what happened. And if you look at verse 19, you see, and you see it even more in Mark, but in both, you see the crowd, the people who were there, prevented the paralyzed man from getting to Jesus. What did I say here? But that didn't stop them. And I love that. The paralyzed man couldn't get to Jesus, but it didn't stop him, and it didn't stop his friends. Mark tells us there was four men carrying him. It didn't stop them. They said, we're going to get this man to Jesus, even though he's being prevented from getting to him. So at 20, we see he gets there. They lower him through the roof, through the tiles, and he gets there, and Jesus forgives him. And why does he forgive him? He forgives him because of their faith. See, we're saved by faith. We're saved, and I love that song, Oceans, a song of faith, a great song of faith. So Jesus forgives him because of their faith. A salvation occurs in their midst, right? I always say, what is the greatest miracle of all? It isn't the healing, it isn't this, it isn't that. The greatest miracle of all is the salvation of a soul. Nothing even comes close. So the house is full. The man can't get to Jesus because the church people are preventing him. And they say, we're going to get our friend to Jesus. They lower him through the roof. And the greatest miracle of all takes place right in their presence. Well, what happens next? We know what's happening in the kingdom. All of heaven is rejoicing. All of heaven is rejoicing. They're in an uproar in the kingdom of God, praising Jesus, cheering on God, rejoicing that a salvation just took place, the greatest miracle of all. But in the house, that's not what happened. See, immediately all the church people who were there began to question Jesus. They started to talk amongst themselves. They started to question Jesus. Started to question all sorts of things. And I'm not going to get into it, but that's what happened there. And then Jesus knows what's taking place. Because Jesus always knows what's taking place, but he knows what's taking place. And so in verse 24, Jesus says, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And it tells us, why did he do that? He did that so that they might know God. He did that so that the people in the house might know that Jesus is God, so that he is able to do anything he wants to do. And so he tells them, arise, take up your bed and go to your house so that the people might know God. And then it says in 25 and 26, to finish off this summary, the man goes off glorifying God, and the people were amazed. But one thing that got to me, one thing, and I don't want to get into the problems or the issues. Yeah, I'm going to go in there for in a minute. But the people were amazed at the healing that the paralytic man walked off, but they weren't amazed at the salvation. And I think they might have missed the salvation. And the healing doesn't compare to the salvation. The salvation is the far greater miracle. But they were amazed at the healing, not the salvation. So a bunch of questions come into my mind as I look at this passage, and I'm going to share them with you. The first question is, if the house was packed with the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers, the leaders, the church people, and nobody else could get in, and the paralytic man was there and he couldn't get to Jesus, the first question that comes up for me is, who needed healing the most? Was it the paralytic or was it the others? Who needed to know Jesus, who needed to understand that he was God, who needed to understand that the greatest miracle of all is a salvation of a soul, not a paralytic getting up and walking. And then I said, why was it so difficult to get the man to Jesus? Did he not look right? Did he not? Why was it so difficult? Because you would think, if we're followers of Jesus and Jesus is here teaching us and we're hungry to see the power of God and we believe that the greatest miracle of all is the salvation of a soul and we see someone who's needy and hurting and broken and we see four people, it took four people to get them there and we can't even let them get to Jesus. It's like, why was it so difficult to get the man to Jesus? Shouldn't the pathway have been cleared? Shouldn't the house have been emptied out so that the man could get to Jesus who needed healing? I think it should have. But I know so oftentimes in our church and probably in a lot of churches, it's difficult. Then the other question I wrote here, why didn't the church people rejoice with all of heaven when Jesus forgave the man of his sins? Why didn't they rejoice with all of heaven? Heaven started for you and I the moment we first believed in Jesus, received the deposit of the Holy Spirit, the guarantee of what is to come, the deposit of the Holy Spirit in our life. From that moment on, I am a citizen of the kingdom of God, not a citizen of this world, and you were too. And so it's like, why didn't they rejoice with heaven when Jesus forgave the man of his sins? So those are the questions that come up for me. And the questions create problems for me. And I want to share with you my problems. It said in, I think it was 17, I guess. Yeah. Jesus was present to heal them, yet they didn't even recognize their own need for healing, or their own need for change, or their own need for deliverance. So that's a problem. That's a problem when we come together as the church and as believers. We need to recognize that Jesus has something for everyone every time we gather together around the Word of God, every time we gather together in prayer. Jesus wants to do something in me and he wants to do something in you. Now, another was present, the paralytic man, and he clearly needed healing, yet they didn't help him get to Jesus. That's a problem for me. And it's a problem I struggle with too in my community and in my neighborhood and in my church. Because sometimes I probably prevent people from getting to Jesus because my mind's not right. It's not fixed on the things above. It's not saturated in the presence of God and the Holy Spirit because I allow so many other things to come in that I can just get my eyesight off of where it could be at times and not allow or not bring or not bring people into the presence of God that needed to be there. And the third problem, I already told you the third problem, the power of God was present. Jesus was there himself. The power of God was present in the house, and yet they missed it. The greatest miracle of all was taking place, and yet they missed it. The miracle that millions and millions and millions go crazy for in the kingdom of God every time it happens. And it was happening right there in their midst, and they missed it. That's a problem. That's a problem for me. Why do these things have to happen? Then we have, I'm going to call them the characters. I don't know if it's the right word, because I feel... I'm going to call them the characters. Who were the characters? In which one describes you and which one describes me? This is how I think along. The first character is Jesus. That doesn't describe you or me, so that's out. None of us are Jesus. The next character is the church people. They packed the place full. It's probably a small place, but probably a lot of people, I would guess. The church people, they packed the place full. See, they wanted to be in the presence of Jesus. That's a good thing. The church people wanted to be in the presence of Jesus, but didn't recognize their own need, I think, when they came into his presence. And they weren't really concerned for the paralyzed man who did recognize his need. I'm going to throw a side note out here. There's tons of people all over the earth, probably right in this town, that are so needy, and they know they are so needy, and they recognize their need. And yet, oftentimes, the church is full of people who don't recognize their needs. We are a needy people. The early church in the book of Acts, the early church in the New Testament, every time they got together, what were they doing? Crying out to God, desperate for the presence of God, desperate for the power of God, because they desperately realized and understood how much they needed God's presence and power in their lives. They were needy. The apostles were needy. The church was needy. You are needy, and I am needy. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. We need a greater measure of his power. But here, not only did they seemingly not recognize their own need, but they weren't concerned with the needs of the man who was right there in their midst. Then we have the four men who carried their friends to Jesus. Next one. They were willing to do anything they had to do to get their friend to Jesus. I'm sorry, I get emotional sometimes when I speak. They were willing to do anything they had to do to get their friend to Jesus, because not only did their friend know he needed Jesus, they knew he needed Jesus. And so these four men, they couldn't get him in the door. They brought him through the roof. Whatever they had to do, their friend was getting to Jesus. Without them, without those four men, nothing happens. The salvation doesn't take place. The miracle doesn't take place. The healing doesn't take place without the four men. Thank God for those four men. Then you have the paralyzed man. He was helpless and dependent on others to bring him to Jesus, like so many people in this world. The paralyzed man could not get to Jesus. He was helpless. The very miracle of the paralyzed man walking away is the thing that amazed the people of God, even more than the salvation. But they would have never been amazed if the man didn't get to Jesus and he was completely helpless to get to Jesus. And they had something to talk about. They had something exciting going on at the meeting that day. The paralyzed man was healed. But he was the helpless one, he was the needy one, and he was completely dependent on others. We need the paralyzed man in our churches. We need the people who are helpless in our churches. We need the people who are needy in our churches. Because without them, oftentimes we're going to miss the power of God and the greatest miracles that God wants to do in our midst and in our presence. So there's another problem here. I find another problem. Last one for problems. And I think it's a big problem. It's a huge problem in my church. I'm not here to point to you guys. I'm not here to bash the church. This is the greatest church in the world because the Holy Spirit is here. My church is the greatest church in the world. I love my church. I love the Church of the Nazarene. I love the church family here. I love that we believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that there's hope in Jesus. We believe that Jesus can do something today and perform a great miracle. We believe that we do not have to live the lives that we used to live before we came to Christ. We believe that there's hope and healing in Jesus' name, that the lost can find their way, that those who are sick can be healed, that those who are broken can be made whole. I love the Church of the Nazarene. I love this church. I love my church. And I love what you believe in and what I believe in. But there's a problem. The problem was this, and I think it's a common problem in the church in America, especially in the church in America. I don't have a lot of experience outside of America. I have a good amount of experience in Haiti, but it's definitely a common problem in the church in America. And here it is. There was plenty of Bible listeners. The place was full of people listening to the Word of God. But only four came to the meeting carrying a stretcher. Plenty of Bible listeners, but only four carrying a stretcher. Now, it's unfortunate that it takes four to carry one to get them to Jesus, but that's the way it works sometimes. But that's a problem. Because imagine if everybody that was in the house that morning got together with two or three others and carried a stretcher before Jesus. Imagine the revival that would have broke out. Imagine the miracles that would have taken place. Imagine the salvations that would have happened in the presence of that house that morning in Jesus' presence. If everybody didn't just come to listen to the Word of God, but like those four men, they were carrying stretchers to get people to Jesus that needed them so desperately. Imagine if we in my church or you in your church recognized how desperately we need Jesus, how desperately we need to see the power of God, how much we believed that the salvation of a soul is the greatest miracle of all, how much we believed that miracles taking place in our presence are the very thing that's going to increase our faith and build the kingdom of God in our neighborhoods and communities. Imagine if we believed and understood how desperate and needy we were for Jesus, that we were just lining up carrying people in who are desperate and broken and hurting and needy and can't even get out of their way. We have this guy in our church. He's been in our church like 30 years. He is a major distraction. Most of the people would rather not have him there. He's got issues in here. He says things he shouldn't say. He does things he shouldn't do. You would probably call him crazy. A brother said to me a long time when I was a younger believer, before I was a pastor or a leader in the church, he said, "This church, Rockville Church of the Nazarene, needs Johnny far more than Johnny needs Rockville Church of the Nazarene. We're far better off with the issues that Johnny brings to the table. And the church is a place that's meant to be filled with Johnnies who can experience the power of God and who can be in the presence of God. And Johnny can't get there himself, and he certainly ain't getting into the kingdom himself. Not only does he need Jesus, but sometimes we need to carry our brothers and sisters almost into the kingdom of God. Lock arms with them. I will walk with you." Most of the people are missing the power of God in this account, because they're more concerned with listening to Jesus than carrying stretchers. Imagine the faith. I'm way off my notes now. Imagine the faith of the four that carried the stretcher. Imagine what happened to them. Imagine what happened to their faith when the man got healed, when the man got saved and Jesus forgave him of his sins. Then imagine what happened when the man walked out of there glorifying God. What would that do for your faith? Almost like you just got saved all over again. Because not only did you just experience the greatest miracle of all and see the power of God, but God called you to participate in it. And it wouldn't have happened if you didn't say, "Yes, Lord," and do that which God had called you to do. God allowed you to be a part of it. What would it do for your faith? Think about the faith of the paralyzed man. And I wrote here, think about the faith of those carrying the stretcher. I don't really know exactly how to close this. I got a couple more notes here I'm going to share. I probably already shared them anyways. Imagine if the church people recognize their own need for healing. Could they be changed too? Was God done with you and I that moment we first believed? For me, it was simple. It wasn't simple, but we all have different salvation experiences. For me, it was New Year's Day, 2002, 6 o'clock in the morning, sitting in the back seat of a taxi cab. There was no preacher, there was no Bible, there was no prayer. I heard the voice of the Lord. I'm not going to say I heard it audibly, but it seemed that clear. All that was said, the Holy Spirit said, "Enough," more like, "Enough." And in my heart, in my mind, I responded, "Okay." And that was it. But God in my life was changed forever. In that moment's time, completely different, brand new. God is changing me as much today as almost as much as he did at that very moment in time. What if we recognized our need for Jesus, our need for healing, our need for change, our need for correction, our need for more of the Holy Spirit? Could we be changed too today? I think we could. What if they actually helped that man get to Jesus? What if they saw their friends who were carrying the stretcher coming from a ways off? And whoever, I guess in our day and age, in our terminology, the ushers, the greeters, whatever, we're saying, our friends are coming and they're bringing someone that needs to get to Jesus. Make room. What if they actually got involved with what was going on there? What would it have done for their faith? What would it have done for their faith? It would have done so much. And for their spirit, the Holy Spirit with them. And again, I already said it, but imagine if those same people carried stretchers to the meeting, the revival that would have broken out. This is an incredible church. I alluded earlier, I'm all done here. I alluded earlier to the prayer and to Pastor White's calling to the body of Christ. You have a better opportunity now than ever before, probably, to rise up and become the church of God in Loudoun. To rise up and become the people of God in the greater Concord area. You don't need a senior pastor for that. You have the very same spirit that Jesus had. And as we follow Jesus, and as we cry out to God, and as we recognize our need and desperation for the Holy Spirit in our church and in our homes and in our lives, and as we unite together as the body of Christ and the family of God, and as we begin going out with Pastor White and brother over here with the outreach with Rise Again and the others and the things that are taking place, and as we begin going out to the highways and byways and finding those people that need Jesus, and getting them into the house of God and putting them under the sound of the gospel, because faith comes by hearing. Or if they won't come, we bring the gospel right to them, right? But right now, you have a great opportunity. And my prayer for this church and my prayer for you as the people of God and as the church of God here in Loudoun is that we would take advantage of the opportunity. that we would rise up and become a church of prayer, that we would rise up and become the church. This may or may not be, someone said once, and I love the saying, this may or may not be the best church in this community, but it can be the best church for this community. And it can be the church that's known for when people are broken, and people are hurting, and people are desperate, and people are needy, and people are confused, and people are lost, and people are lost. It can be the church that's known that that's where I can go and find hope and truth and love and help and healing in Jesus' name in my time of need. We can be the best church for this community. No question about it. We can be the church that's known as the place to come to find hope. Jesus brings hope. The gospel brings hope. That's what it's all about. And so I don't know how you guys normally close. I don't know if you close in a song, don't close in a song. We're going to close in a word of prayer this morning. It's an honor to be here with you guys. I love this church. I don't know if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you this morning. I would assume with the altars filled before service that people came here wanting the Spirit to speak something. And so I have to assume that if our ears were open and that was our desire and the gospel's been read this morning, that the Lord has maybe spoken a little something to you. I'll invite you to come pray. If you want to pray, I'm going to close in prayer up here. I'm going to pray for you guys. I would encourage you not only to come pray, but pray for others. Pray for one another. Pray together. Pray that God will do something great in this church now, this summer, this fall. Pray for those healings that we need and those children that are related to this church. But just pray and seek God's Spirit and ask Him what it is that He wants to say to you this morning through His Word. So let's pray, and you come. Holy Spirit, I thank You for this morning, Lord. I thank You, God, for Your Word. Lord, I pray, dear Lord Jesus, that You would help me, dear Lord. God, I pray that You would help my church, Lord. Back in Rockville, Lord, I thank You for them, Lord. I thank You that they're gathering to worship just now, Lord. I pray, dear Lord, that today would be the day of salvation. I pray that today would be the day where some are excited to see the power of God, Lord. I pray that the word preached there this morning by Pastor Flick would be anointed by Your Holy Spirit, dear Lord, and that lives would be changed. God, I thank You that Your Holy Spirit is here with us today. I thank You that this is a church that prays. I thank You, dear Lord Jesus, that You are, they're not only a church that prays, but that You're making them into a church that prays. And that even this morning, You've touched hearts and called people and said, pray. Pray with the church. Pray for your new pastor. Pray for these healings. Pray for the power of God to come in this place. I thank You, Lord, that You're speaking to people this morning. And that right now even, you're calling people to be people of prayer. And that in that point of decision, some are saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow You and pray. I thank You, dear Lord, that this is a church that's been founded and grounded on the Word of God. I thank You that they're hungry for Your Word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, God, would You make us desperate. Not only to be together in Your presence in prayer, be together in Your presence worshiping You, God, would You just make us desperate for Your presence, desperate for one another? Would You help us to recognize, God, that the church is not dependent on one or even a few? It took four to carry that stretcher in for that miracle to take place. Would You unite us together as the family of God that we would have your mind, we would have your heart, that your will would be done, that your kingdom would come in our midst, dear Lord Jesus. That we would understand that we're better together. That we would understand that we're stronger together. That we would understand, dear Lord Jesus, that no great work of God is going to take place apart from prayer. That we would understand your word and that it's alive and that it's living, active, and well today. And that we would desire to be changed by the power of your word and the power of your Holy Spirit, even in this present day today, dear Lord, though we've known you for so long. Jesus, would you draw us closer to you? Jesus, would you help us? Holy Spirit, would you come? God, I pray that you would pour out your blessing upon the people here. I pray that you would pour out your blessing upon the church family here. Provide for them everything that they need, dear Lord. And I know that everything that they need is found in you. So would your word be at the center and the foundation of everything they need? Father, pour out, God, pour out blessing and favor and honor in this church. We thank you for these committed followers of Christ. And we do pray, God, when you appoint that next leader to come to this place, we pray that it would be your chosen one. We pray that they would be, it would be born of prayer. We pray that it would be your will. And we want to ask, Lord, would you move quickly, God, but not our will, but yours be done. And God, would nothing have to be on pause while we await for you to appoint that next leader, dear Lord? But would the kingdom of God go marching on? Would the gospel go forth this summer, Father, through the ministries that are taking place here, dear Lord? Bless our pastors and leaders and retired pastors. Call people to raise on up even this morning, Father. New leaders in the church. New people to make a difference in the kingdom of God in this church here in Loudoun. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.